Hey, listener, if you live in a part of the world where the weather is starting to heat up, then you'll want to listen to this episode because we're talking about wines for hot weather. And by the end of this episode, you may just be convinced to try wine in a can. This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a certified specialist of wine and wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. And today our guest is Jacqueline Coleman. Jacqueline is a columnist for the Biscayne Times and Wine Traveler. She's based down in Miami, where she also talks wine every Wednesday at 11 a.m. with Linda Gassenheimer on Food News and Views on WDNA 88.9 FM. And Jacqueline also hosts the Wine Uncorked podcast. So she has quite a lot of experience with talking about wine, and she knows her wine inside and out. And since she is also from a warm weather place in Miami, I thought she'd be a great person to talk to about hot weather wines. Jacqueline, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting about some warm weather wines today.
Yeah. And, you know, now that we are in the warm weather season in most of the United States, you're down there in Miami, which is a hot place, and hot meaning a lot of different things. And, you know, I thought you would be a great person to talk to about what kind of wines should we start to turn to as the temperature gets higher, when we get into the 90s and maybe even into the 100 degrees, and we're going outside and having these lunches outside and dinners outside, and it's warm out. I mean, I'm imagining that Amarone is not the bottle to choose.
No, you know what? I wouldn't, unless I was in a very cold, dark, air-conditioned bar. I really feel like it's funny to me to hear about the changing of the seasons and this whole idea that there's an upcoming rosé season. You know, I get pitched all the time for it's rosé season, so get your rosés out. But, you know, it's rosé season all year round in Miami, so it's just so silly to me to hear that there's a rosé season, because I drink rosé in January, I drink it in November, I drink it for lunch almost every single time when I'm out. So I think that when we're looking at, you know, those seasonal wines, it's really hard for those of us who live in tropical places to think in terms of seasons. So I'm glad that you all are coming into the warmer season up north.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this for a long time. We're waiting for rosé season. We look forward to it.
Yeah, you know, just the other day I was out, and of course, anytime there's a rosé on the list, that's what I drink for lunch. And that's my go-to, honestly, for any warm weather activity. I'm going out on a boat on Saturday, and all I think about is which bottles of rosé I'm bringing. So if that's cliche, sorry, but I truly live by that rosé is one of the top picks for the warm weather times.
You know what? Rosé has become probably one of the most popular wines that people are looking for. And to your point, like, I don't even up here in the north where it gets kind of cold, people are still ordering rosé wines in December and January and February. Maybe they're not drinking it as often or as much, but it's definitely still holding pretty solid throughout the year.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Pink wines, they're great. Even the guys are drinking them. It's a good thing. Life is good.
Well, and poor rosé has had such a interesting past, from the days of White Zinfandel all the way to where we are now, where it's not a faux pas to drink a rosé. I feel like there's been so many different periods of rosé drinking throughout the past 30 years or so. So I'm glad to see it's come around and it's become a staple.
Yeah. And you know, now that you're talking more about rosé, and I'm thinking about this, our listener may think of rosé as just like a wine like Pinot Grigio, but really there are a lot of different styles of rosé. What are some of the styles that you really like from different areas of the world, or you know, the different shades of pink that you prefer and with different foods and things like that?
Well, it's hard for me to pass up a Provençal rosé. I just love the dry, crisp, light, refreshing rosé from the south of France. However, there are some great rosés that are made from Cabernet And these are going to be a little bit heavier. I know there's one made out at Via Dare in Napa called Dare, and it's their Cabernet-based Rosé. And it's a great food pairing wine, honestly, because it does have a little bit more tannins to it. It's a heavier wine. It's going to be darker and a lot of fruit. So, you know, it's an interesting take on your typical, you know, it's not your Whispering Angel or your Miraval. It's going to be a little bit different, but I think there's a place and time for all sorts of different rosés, whether you want to enjoy them with a meal or you want to kick back and just have a glass while you're sitting at the beach or pool. So these are all great opportunities to drink rosé. I would never pass up an opportunity. So,
yeah, I'm glad you brought up the fact that the Cabernet-based rosés have a little bit of a darker color, because people seem to be almost like locked into that Provence rosé of that you know, that lighter shade of pink. And if they see something that's outside of that, it kind of throws them off, or they think maybe there's something wrong with it, or maybe it's not a real rosé. And it's really just because rosés are different.
Right. And I think that there is this kind of misconception too that darker rosés are sweeter, and that's not the case either. You know, just because there's more color from the grape skins doesn't necessarily mean that there's a higher sugar content. So that's important for people to know too, and take it as it is. Don't think, you know, that the bottle, just because it's darker, is sweeter. There's many different styles to choose from.
How do you help someone kind of pick which kind of rosé that they might like, if, you know, they've had a few and they want to explore a little more? Like, are there some suggestions that you can give them based on what they see on the bottle, on the label, or doing some internet research? Is there, like, what are some guiding points that you can give someone to explore a little beyond their comfort zone?
Well, I think that if anyone is looking for that refreshing, crisp style, I always recommend a Provençal rosé, always. It's hard for me to not recommend a French wine just in general, but I think if people are looking for a sweeter style, it would be a matter of doing a little bit of research. Obviously, White Zinfandel kind of comes to mind if that's what they're interested in, although I would not recommend that to anyone. But hey, to each his own. I have friends who,
that's right,
who really like sweet wines. And so whenever I'm gifted a bottle of wine that I don't necessarily enjoy because it is kind of a sweeter style or off dry or that sort of thing, I will save it until those friends come over, and I'll serve it to them and that sort of thing, because I don't like anything to go to waste.
Well, I'm with you on that one for sure. So we have rosés are an easy one for hot weather. I'm guessing white wines are pretty easy too. I mean, you know, anything that's chillable is going to be an easy choice for warm weather. But are there white wines that you think maybe kind of overlooked or people don't think about? Like, you know, so many people just like walk into the bar and they're like, I want the Chardonnay, right? And it's, or I want my Pinot Grigio. Like, are there some whites that you really think that people should order more often or take a look at, or at least give a try?
Well, first of all, you will never hear me walk into a bar and say, I want the Chardonnay. That will never happen.
Why is that?
I've tried Chardonnay from all over the world. Yes, I've had many Chablis. Yes, I've had many Burgundy bottles. Yes, I've had California. And I just, you know, it's not my favorite. So I will never just walk into a bar and say, give me the Chardonnay. However, there are many other white wines that I would absolutely choose. I think the Loire Valley is often overlooked. A really great Muscadet or Chenin Blanc. These are all great high acidity, fresh, light white wines that go great with seafood and even raw seafood like ceviche or oysters or something like that. And so I always gravitate towards that region when I'm looking for that just super refreshing white. So anything on the list, honestly, from the Loire Valley is probably a good white pick. You know, obviously Sauvignon Blanc from there as well.
Yeah, that's good advice. And, you know, you mentioned food pairings, and here I talk a lot about wine and food and wine as food. And it always strikes me a little strange when people want to drink wine without food, but I get it. The wines from the Loire Valley do tend to have that more acidity and the dryness that just is begging for food. But now, how about if someone just wants to start out their evening with an aperitif, a white wine? What are some good suggestions, again, that you think are a little overlooked or people should go for?
Well, I don't know if it's overlooked, but I also go towards it, like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. And I wouldn't say that's overlooked because I know that it's a popular style, but that is always, for me, if I'm just, you know, waiting at the bar for my friend before dinner or something like that, if there's a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc on the list and it's warm outside and that warm breeze is coming in the big windows and, you know, you're kind of sweating a little bit, that's exactly the glass that I would order. Albarino is another one that I really enjoy when it's warm outside. It's that citrusy and kind of fresh. But again, that one begs for food too. I always think of some kind of seafood dish with that. But another kind of different style of white wine that I was actually introduced to recently is the white port that you can make into a really refreshing cocktail by adding just a little bit of tonic and lime. And that is a great boating cocktail, I will say, as long as you're not driving the boat. If you are riding in the boat, you're boating responsibly, just a little bit of white port and tonic. It's kind of a wine spin on the gin and tonic or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I know it's popular over in Portugal, but it's not really picked up here yet. But maybe this year is the year that it picks up. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we're going to make it pick up right now. Anyone listening right now, you're going to go home and make a white port and tonic.
Yeah, of course, the key is finding the white port. It's not always easy to find, but I know that I know some places we can find them, and you can check the show notes to find them. So I know that in Miami, you must drink red wine at some time because it sells. So give us some tips on some red wines. You know, are there lighter reds that are good for the hot weather? I mean, you know, like Beaujolais is an easy one, but like, are there other ones that maybe people don't think about?
Do you think about Lambrusco?
Oh, yes, I do think about Lambrusco. Yes, I do.
I think about Lambrusco, but I only think a lot about Lambrusco. I have to give a friend of mine a shout out because she is the Lambrusco ambassador, unofficial, because anytime we're together, she just wants to drink Lambrusco. And I've recently kind of been reintroduced to Lambrusco just by virtue of hanging out with her and her wanting to drink this all the time. And, you know, with Lambrusco too, there's lots of different kind of styles. And I know that there's the pure Lambrusco and then there's all sorts of spinoffs, but that is a fun, refreshing, sparkling red, you know, to sip anytime you want with food or without. I mean, that's an easy one to drink without.
So now I'm going to work right into your wheelhouse because we've had this discussion before. Wine in a can.
Yes.
Our listener today may be thinking, wine in a can? Isn't that like cheap? Isn't that like not so awesome? Isn't that like not the good wines? How about you educate us?
Oh, I love canned wine. And I love it for so many reasons. And you're right. It does have kind of a bad reputation. And I think that's because in the past, you think of, and I won't name certain brands, but certain brands that are sweet, fizzy, canned wines and not great quality. And maybe just kind of like you're, you know, at a party or something like that. But for me, canned wines are a welcomed form or alternative packaging for those of us who are on the boat, who are at the beach, who do go to the pool on a regular basis, because it is so easy to throw these cans in a cooler, just like with all of your friends who drink beer. And, you know, when people drink beer, I'm always the one lugging like bottles of wine with me, you know, on the boat. I'm like, hey, where can I put my bottles? So having some really great quality canned wine has changed my life in terms of ease of access and just portability, bringing it around, and also safety. You know, when you're on a boat, you're rocking and rolling a lot, and there's a lot of variables that can cause things to fall over, and not having glass on a boat is a really important thing. So, you know, we're always very careful when we do bring bottles of wine on the boat to make sure that they stay in certain places and that they're not, you know, just on open surfaces and that sort of thing. So having the cans of wine is just, it's a game changer. safer, it's easier to bring around. And there are so many great producers out there making quality canned wine now that you really do have the opportunity to drink good wine. It's just not all plunk.
Yeah. So you mentioned both game-changing and life-changing. I think we figured out the title for this episode. I think canned wines will change your life.
Totally, because now I can't imagine going on a boat and not bringing canned wine with me. It's something that I think about, like, oh, I need to go grab some cans. Like I'm like picking up some beer or like, I've got to get my six pack of wine. But the great thing is that you don't have to be left out when people are like, give me a can of beer. You're like, okay, yeah, I can do this too. But you do have to be careful with canned wine because it will sneak up on you. The 375 milliliter cans, like your typical Coca-Cola can, is the equivalent of a half of a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So you can't really go one for one with your buddies who are drinking Bud Light because you're drinking a half a bottle of wine there. And it's so easy to do because it is a can, and you, especially if it's sparkling. I love sparkling wine in cans because I think, you know, growing up as a kid drinking a lot of Coca-Cola, I just expect that fizz to come from a can. But when you're sipping on a sparkling wine and it's hot outside and it's refreshing and everybody's just drinking and having a good time, it's really easy to, you know, throw back a couple of those. But you drink two cans, that's a bottle of wine. So you need to be a little careful with when you're drinking canned wine. Slow it down and enjoy. The better option is the slimmer cans, the smaller ones. I think they're 250 milliliters. And those are about the equivalent of a glass and a half. So just keep that in mind. I think it's always a good idea to be mindful of how much you're drinking in general. But with the canned wine, because it's so easy, just make sure you're doing the math in your head a little bit.
Yeah, that's the pro tip. So I'm going to ask a couple questions that may seem very obvious to you, but since I don't go out on a boat very often and have canned wine with me, are you drinking it straight out of the can? Are you using a straw? Are you bringing along a plastic cup? Like, how are you actually drinking the wine?
Straw would be good. I haven't really thought of that yet, actually. But usually out of the can.
Okay.
However, there I've been known to open a can of wine at home and pour it into a glass, which is absolutely acceptable, especially if it's a red wine in a can. Sometimes it's better to pour it out of the can and into the glass. On the boat, you know, just to minimize the amount of garbage and that sort of thing, I'm usually just drinking right out of the can because you can drink it out of the can.
You can. I see what you did
there. Yeah, it's super easy. You don't need a glass or a cup or, you know, anything else. But yeah, at home, I would totally pour the can into a glass. And it is a great kind of solo happy hour because, again, the 250 milliliters are like a glass and a half. So if you're sitting at home and you're just like, I don't feel like opening a bottle of wine, but I really want a glass of Cabernet. You know, there's Cabernet in a can and you can pour it out and enjoy. And I think I said this before, but this idea that canned wine is crap, you know, there's a time and place for it. And I think that's something that we need to think about in general with wine drinking too. You know, we're talking about warm weather wines here. There are definitely cooler weather wines. There are times to drink certain styles of wine and not others. And I think that canned wine fits in just like everything else. You know, you wouldn't wear a tuxedo to the beach and you wouldn't wear your bikini to a five-star restaurant. So, you know, yes, if I'm going out for a fancy dinner, I'm not going to order a can of wine from the sommelier, you know, but if I'm going out on the boat, I'm not bringing my best bottle of Cabernet either. So, you know, there's a time and place for it. And I think sometimes in the wine industry, in the wine world, everybody gets kind of snobby about, ugh, canned, but you know, time and place, dude, like think about where you are and put it into context. So I think that that's important. And, you know, of course, living here in a tropical paradise, we're not going out to, you know, fancy snobby dinners all the time. We are a little bit more casual. So I think it's great to have alternative ways to drink.
Yeah. And I liked what you said before about not being left out because I am not one to drink a whole lot of beer. It just doesn't sit right with me, all of that carbonation or whatever. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just not my thing. I'm always looking for a glass of wine instead. And to your point, like if I'm going out on a boat, I can have that. I can have a can of wine. Making sure that I'm having probably just one. Otherwise, I will have a problem. And if I'm out at a ball game, I'm probably not going to bring a bottle of Batard Monarchet. It's probably going to be, you know, something like a can of wine.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, and I say we in a very general sense because, you know, I'm talking about we in the industry or we wine enthusiasts or whoever, we get so wrapped up in this thing where we think we know everything about wine and where it needs to be consumed and how, and, you know, all the very specifics that they teach you in all the courses and that sort of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, the average consumer, most people, myself included, like, we just want to enjoy ourselves. So give it a chance. I think that, again, there's so many great wines, and it's hit or miss, right? You're going to have to pop a few cans open and taste until you find your, you know, what you like, because they're not all good. I will say that, because I have tasted plenty of cans that I did not enjoy. But once you find your cans that you like, I mean, why not? Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, you know, that's a huge point too, as far as trying different ones, because surely our listener has opened up bottles of wine that he or she did not enjoy.
Yeah, like every Chardonnay. Just kidding.
Well, yeah, like you've tried it over and over. You keep trying different Chardonnays and you just don't like them, but you'll probably keep trying, right?
I will absolutely. And if it is served to me, I will absolutely drink it.
So if our listener opens up, tries two or three different brands or types of cans of wine and does not like them, that doesn't mean you can't find one that you'll like. So keep trying. Toward that end, our price points a good place to start in trying to find a higher quality wine in a can, or is that not a great place to start?
Well, that's a good point. I know a premium canned wine company that their cans go for about $10 a can. So if you think in terms of that being a glass and a half of wine, you know, when you're out at a restaurant, $10 for a glass and a half of wine is a pretty good deal. And this is, you know, quality. These are quality cans. These are quality producers. So I would say that is probably, you know, even though it sounds kind of like a lot, because if you're getting a six pack, that's $60, you know. But if you think that six pack is actually two bottles of wine, then it kind of puts it in a different context there. But when I've gone to places like Total Wine and some of the big box retailers, the average 375 milliliter can is about $6. So again, that's your half bottle of wine. You're looking at the equivalent of maybe like a $12 bottle, if that's, you know, kind of average.
That's average, yeah.
Yeah, and there's some good cans at that price level. Of course, there's way cheaper ones, but I don't recommend them. And there's cans that are a little more expensive, but I think kind of the $5, $6, $7 range is pretty average for the 375s.
And that's really not a terrible risk. You know, $6 and you may or may not like the wine, that's not a bad risk.
Yeah. And again, these wines are not meant to age. You know, you're not going to buy a can of wine and hold on to it for 10 years.
Good point.
So, you know, this is a drink now product. You're going to buy it on your way to the pool or to the beach or whatever. So think in terms of that, you know, like this is not your investment wine. This is not, you're not going to save it for your kids, whatever you save wine for, you know, like.
Unless it's their 21st birthday.
Right. When I was your age, I drank wine in a can. Here it is. That's not really what this is. This is something for you to enjoy in that day immediately or soon thereafter. So again, you know, going back to context and place and time and looking at the big picture about wine, these are not your lay down wines that are going to go into the cellar. These are your absolutely fun wines that, you know, you take with you on a daily basis.
Obviously, you don't have to worry about a canned wine being corked, but are there other issues that you need to be concerned about as far as, like, you know, just in case someone tries one of these more expensive canned wines? Is there something that can happen that where it's just off and you just needed to like try the same wine, but a different can of it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I've had the experience where there's a little bit of that aluminum flavor just from the can and that sort of thing. But I think pouring the wine into a glass can help get rid of that a little bit. So if you're feeling like, this is tasting canny, just pour it into a glass and see if that changes. And again, there's all sorts of quality levels. I personally enjoy more sparkling styles of canned wine, but there are definitely still canned wines. There are rosés, there's white wines, there's red wines, and there can be good and bad wines in all of these different categories. Yeah, you just got to kind of play around with it. But I think the main thing that those of us who have tried cans and tasted together is just sometimes there is a little bit of an aluminum kind of feel to it, just like drinking anything out of a can. But that can be easily remedied.
Yeah. And again, we're not drinking Batard Montrachet. Like, no. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's a $12 or $15 wine if it was in a bottle. Do you think we're going to see even more expensive wines in a can? Or you think it just makes more sense to stay around that equivalent of a $12 to $15 bottle of wine?
Well, I think that's going to have to be a producer's call, you know, if they want to spend their time and money canning wines or bottling them. You know, there are definitely sustainability arguments for both and economical arguments. So I think it's going to be individual choice. I think that a lot of producers and a lot of canning companies are looking towards better quality wines because I think that there's huge growth potential in this segment of the market for consumers to catch on, like me, if you're listening today, catch on to this. But, you know, as you start drinking more cans, I think people are going to demand better quality. And so, yes, I think that that segment of the market will grow a little bit, but I don't know. There might be a ceiling to that. There might be a time when that kind of stops because it doesn't make any sense. Once the cans are priced too high, are consumers even going to want to buy them for easy consumption? You know, I think that will all kind of be settled out in the market. But for right now, absolutely. I think there's growth potential. I think that producers and canning companies are realizing that people want better wines in their can, and it works, you know, for the short term at least.
Right. All right. I have one more question. Koozie or no koozie?
Koozie. Yeah, you can totally do koozie.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you want to keep it cool.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's the other thing with canned wines. It's really important to chill them, you know, even the red ones.
Okay.
So going back to your question a while ago about chilling wines and red wines, I would chill a canned Cabernet. Absolutely. It's just a different feel than coming out of a bottle. So again, maybe this is me growing up as a Coca-Cola kid. You know, I want something cold and refreshing coming out of my can. And though the Cabernet I wouldn't call as refreshing, but chilled down a little bit coming out of the can is important. And that goes across the board for obviously all the whites and rosés and sparklings, you know, but absolutely koozie. If you want to, you know, especially if you're on that boat and you're like hanging out and you're sipping, and of course you're sipping slowly because that's a lot of wine. You want to make sure it stays cold and your hands stay dry.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking when you were talking about it's a 375. It's half a bottle of wine in that can. And everyone else, to your point, is like throwing back these, you know, 4% alcohol beers or 5% alcohol beers. And
right.
It's going to take you a lot longer, hopefully, to get through your can. And it'll get warm pretty quick out in the sea and under the sun. So.
Well, you might have to throw it back in the cooler at some point and just let it chill for a little bit. But yes, do not go one for one with your beer drinking buddies because it will not end well for you. That's my advice. That is my professional advice today. But yeah, you might have to throw that in the cooler at some point if you are responsibly drinking your can of wine.
You know what? I think you've convinced me. I think I'm going to have to try some canned wines now and for this summer.
Totally. I just get so excited about this topic because I think because it makes some people angry and like, you know, some in the wine industry are like, ugh. And so I just love to like go on and on about it because I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, sucks for you that you're sitting somewhere where you can't go out on the boat. So I'll go out on the boat and drink my canned wine and you just sit there with your sad face.
Yeah. Wish you were here.
Yeah. Wish you were on the boat in the Caribbean with me. Too bad you're not, but I'm drinking canned Sauvignon Blanc.
I just love the accessibility. You know, you and I are in the industry. Our job is to help more people enjoy wine, not have to feel, you know, stupid because they don't know the difference between Beaujolais and Beaujolais Village or because they don't know that there are different types of rosés or that Chianti is not a grape. Like,
or that they only order Chardonnay when they go to the bar.
Exactly.
Sorry, Chardonnay.
So I like the accessibility. I like that, you know, we can use a koozie. We can throw it into the cooler. No rules. Drink it right out of the can. Like, to me, this is what something that makes wine easier for people and less intimidating.
Yeah. And you know, the industry is always like, well, I don't know. How do we like get more people to drink wine? Well, stop being so mean about it. Like, wait, come on. And I think canned wine is a great entry level wine too. If you're looking at, I don't want to say millennials anymore because we are old, but the younger generations, I didn't really start drinking wine until I was like 25. So maybe I would have had more fun drinking canned wine in college when I was of age, of course.
Of course.
Maybe that would have been easier. Maybe that's easier for people to get into other than, like I said, if your friends are drinking beer and you have a can too, like you fit in. So yeah, I think that we should embrace alternative packaging. We should embrace alternative messaging. And of course, if the quality is there, who cares?
Well, you know, we were making fun of White Zinfandel before. And when rosés started to be more of a thing, and this, you know, we're going back about 10 years now, when it was probably 10 years ago where people were still looking at you like, why are you drinking a pink wine?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a very similar thing with canned wines. It's like, you know, people looking at you right now, maybe not down on there in Miami because it seems to be a bigger thing, but around the rest of the country, somebody going, why are you drinking wine out of a can?
Oh, I dare them to say that to me. Please, if you see me drinking wine in a can, please say that to me.
I will. I will definitely say that. And my listener will too. They'll call you out immediately.
There we go.
But yeah, it may be like, it may see an evolution the way, you know, rosé is just, it's completely on fire. Like, people cannot get enough of rosé. Maybe 10 years from now, people will not get enough of canned wines around the United States. Who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, going back to rosé, I was guilty of that too in the beginning of my wine journey. Fast forward, and now there's all these like fantastic rosés, just beautiful rosés. And like I said, I really can't get enough rosé. I drink it regularly, probably more than any other style of wine, just because it is so hot here in Miami. And when you're outside, when you're dining outside, I don't always want a white wine. And you know, I don't want to sweat through my dinner and drink the Amarone. So the rosé is my go-to, and it's really enjoyable. And it absolutely has evolved into a style that is very well respected, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Rosé in a can. That's what we're going to be looking for next.
Heck yeah.
I know I said I only had one last question, but now I have one more last question.
Oh, good.
Any other alternative packaging do you think could work in addition to the cans?
Yeah, absolutely. So boxed wine with, you know, it's in the pouch in the box. And there are certain producers that are putting it into this box. And then there's a little spigot at the bottom. This is genius for weekends, say when you have house guests and maybe you have a house full of guests and you don't want to always be the one that's like, hey, can I open a bottle for anyone? You know, you just leave this box on the table and people can come up and pour themselves a glass anytime they want. And I've done this before actually with house guests and these type of packaging. And the wine is, I think they're like 3 liters in there or something. Like, it's a good amount. So it lasts all weekend. You know, if you have 6 people, it's great for lazy hosts because you don't have to constantly be opening bottles. You can say, hey guys, help yourself to a glass of wine anytime you want. Here are the glasses, pour yourself some, and the wine stays fresh. It's sealed in there. And I think it's great. You know, like I said, again, time and place and context. Like, this isn't going to be the best wine you've ever had in your entire life. However, it's going to keep your house guests happy and they can serve themselves. If you want to open a better bottle and decant it for dinner, then by all means, please open your most expensive bottle in your cellar. But you know, if you just want people to have easy access and be able to enjoy themselves and help themselves, I think that that format is perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's the wine geek's answer to the beer keg.
Totally.
And again, like just like the canned wines, there are good quality wines in a box now. And I guess, you know, you need to do the same thing as you do with the cans. I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a somewhat serious wine drinker. you probably don't want to buy the cheapest box of wine, but maybe one of those more expensive, if it's, you know, between 20 and 30 bucks. And again, that's like four bottles of wine in there, five bottles of wine, like do the math. It's still pretty inexpensive, even though you're spending between 20 and 30 bucks. Like you said, you'll have that throughout the weekend.
Totally. It lasts, you know, a 3-day weekend. Like I said, I'm speaking from experience. I've done this with house guests, and it's just so much easier on you as a host because you don't have to just constantly be opening bottles while your guests are sitting there like twiddling their thumbs, like, what are we drinking next? You know, like you just give up a glass and say, do it yourself. So it's great.
And if you have anything left over, you don't have to worry about, what am I going to do with this leftover wine? You just put it right back in the fridge and open it again tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know, like with those things too, like you said, they're pretty economical in terms of what you're getting for how much you're paying. So if there's a little bit that kind of doesn't get used, or, you know, like it's not a big deal if it goes to wine heaven and the sink.
All right, Jacqueline, this is great. Thank you so much. Any last tips for warm weather wines, canned wines, boxed wines, wines in Miami, anything else?
Oh, another one, just real quick. Arnais, this grape from Italy, is so great for warm weather sipping. There's actually a restaurant nearby here that has a skin contact Arnais on the list, and I order it almost exclusively every time I'm there because they have a really beautiful like outdoor patio, and you know, we're sitting out there for happy hour and it's just super refreshing. And so that's kind of been like a new discovery of mine.
Yeah. Nice wine from the Piedmont, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Okay. That's my last tip. That's it. I've given all my knowledge.
No, you have quite a bit of knowledge with wine, and I imagine you know the restaurants down there in Miami and the whole food scene. And if anybody wants to learn more about you or get in contact with you, where are the best places to find you, reach you, social media, website, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I am on Instagram and Twitter, both with the same handle, and that's at History and Wine. So History and Wine. So you can reach out to me there. I'm on social on and off throughout the day. So I'm checking in regularly.
Right. And if our listener is driving or on their bicycle right now while they're listening, you don't have to stop and write it down. Just when you're ready, swipe left, right, down, up. I'm not sure which it is. And we'll have all that information in the show notes. Jacqueline, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Jacqueline Coleman. And hey, you made it all the way through. So was I right? Have you been convinced to spend all of $6 to try wine in a can? I know I am. To learn more about Jacqueline, please check the show notes where there are also links to hot weather wines and canned wines you can try. I'll be back with another episode in about 2 weeks. In the meantime, visit wine365.com for more wine tips. And remember, wine is food, it comes from a place, enjoy it responsibly.